The Big Lead is brought to you by 3010 Weight Loss for Life.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
We are coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to our top stories this hour. We got all kinds of news flying about us this afternoon. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
We're number 51. We're number 51. We're number 51. Didn't even know in a country with only 50 states that it'd be possible to be number 51. But Washington is number 51. According to a coalition of law enforcement, if you include the District of Columbia, and we are, Washington is number 51 in number of cops per capita. No wonder crime is just shooting through the roof around here. And our Hannah Scott has kind of taken a deeper dive into these numbers and joins me here live. Hey, Hannah, good to talk to you.
Hey, Dory, you too.
Number 51. That's really something to accomplish.
You know, what's funny is I don't think that that's new in this report. This is a report that comes out every year from the Washington Association of Sheriffs and Police Chiefs. Mm-hmm. And that's one of our big law enforcement groups in the state. And every year we are at the bottom for the number of officers.
Wow.
Every year.
Every single year. Okay, and mm-hmm. that surprises me because there are certainly, you know, large swaths of other states that have even more rural areas than we have in central and eastern Washington. In Seattle, I know, has lost a couple hundred cops here, but that surprised me. Okay, so what is some of the new interesting stuff that you're finding in this?
So this report is, you know, murders. So this looks at the various crime statistics. And I should say this is based on 233 of our law enforcement agencies that, send their information to the Washington Association of Sheriffs and Police Chiefs. That's all or nearly all of our law enforcement agencies. And murders up 47% in 2020. This is the year that it's looking at. 47%. And that's such a huge number.
It's especially huge because it's 47% up from 2019, and 2019 was a multi-decade high. So it's building off what was already a pretty horrible stat in that regard.
Sure, because if you go back to 2016 and compared to 2016 to 2020, we're looking at a 67% increase.
Right.
Murders. So yes. Yeah, it's astronomical. And I'm not surprised. I mean, I've been doing a lot of coverage just here in King County throughout 2020 and then actually on into this year, which already looks worse for murders than 2020 did in King County. And that's in line. I'm a little surprised that statewide that was how high it was. Just really, really tough. And by the way, that's 302 total murders in 2020 is where that number is coming from.
And then speaking of killings, which is not an easy transition for me to be making, but murders up 47%, manslaughter
and
has doubled.
Yeah, I don't even know how that happens in 2020, because most of us were inside for much of the year. So I don't know if that's a charge that gets lowered, possibly because I know, like, there were like domestic violence incidents and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how that happens. I really don't. 100% increase.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's my guess is that we have softer on crime prosecutors, mm-hmm. and they just are all too willing to just bargain down a murder charge to manslaughter in hopes of just, closing the books. So were there any crime areas, Hannah, that went down in the last year?
Yes, and I don't know if this is what you're baiting me to tell you, but I was really surprised to see that hate crimes actually went down, it says, in 2020. Just slightly.
That's not the one I was pointing towards, but okay, tell me about that.
Hate crimes, there was a total of 468 hate crimes, it says, and that's down just slightly from 2019, 13% actually down. So not just slightly, necessarily. And, you know, we've been hearing, again, King County has seen an increase, but I think statewide we've seen not an increase. And I'm really surprised to hear that for all of 2020.
I consider that a bit of a personal triumph because, as you know, every day I come on the radio and I try to just spread love for 3 hours a day. And it's tough to be hateful when there's such a powerful voice of love out there.
That's absolutely true. It really is, Dory. No, you're great. Yes, you are.
The other one that's down, drug and narcotic abuse.
Yes, almost 23%, it says. So we had 8,200 arrests for drug and narcotic violations. But you know what? I have to say that I don't know. I think you might read something else into that number because we do so much pre-arrest diversion, and especially in 2020. So I'm not surprised to see that number go down.
Well, not only pre-arrest diversion, they're just not making arrests to begin with all too often. You know, when the King County prosecutor says that he's going to kick every single personal possession drug case that comes before him, cops know they're not going to waste 3 hours, arresting somebody for having heroin on the street corner and take themselves off the street when they know that it's going to go nowhere with either the city attorney or the county prosecutor. So they're just not. I mean, I'm guessing drug use is 100% at least.
Sure.
But the drug abuse crimes are way down. That doesn't surprise me at all.
No, not at all. And even more than what our usual kind of situation is here in 2020, remember, they basically emptied out all the jails. No one was being put in jail for anything. The courts were closed, for crying out loud. What are you going to do with anybody that you arrest for, you know, possession? And then, of course, we lost, I think it was, wasn't it in 2020? No, it was February that the Blake decision happened. So we hadn't had our drug law tossed out just yet, but still.
Right.
So that's what I think that number's all about.
Pretty amazing. And then the one that, I mean, you kind of referenced it, and this is so disturbing. And this, no doubt, is because it's heartbreaking to me because I tried to take something positive out of the last year and the mitigation strategies and staying at home. And for me, the greatest joy of the last year, I didn't think I would ever, my wife and I, would ever have all three of our daughters in the house at the same time again. I never expected that to happen. And for a brief time during the pandemic, they were all home, and there was nothing more joyful for me. And then I look at this list in front of you and me, Hannah, and I see that there were almost 60,000 domestic violence offenses, and that for a lot of people, being in the same house just led to violence and tragedy, and it's horrible, just absolutely horrible to contemplate.
And it really is. And I'll tell you what, at the beginning of the pandemic, it was aside from first thinking of my own family and, gee, what are we going to do? I thought when the lockdown happened, I thought this is, because I do a lot of coverage with domestic violence cases, this is going to be the most terrifying thing ever for someone. For children and for spouses, and it's turned out to be the case, and we just saw one of the terrible cases just this week. So it's tragic, yes.
Yeah, well, there's sobering numbers, and once again, there seems to be a bit of a correlation between being last in the nation in cops per capita and a soaring crime rate in this region. All right, Hannah Scott, I appreciate it. Thanks for coming by.
My pleasure. Good talking to you, Dory.
You too. All right. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
Well, I have almost a cancel culture update for you because there has been an effort for some time now to force a university to change its name. And the university, of course, is Wingate University in North Carolina. So there's been tremendous pressure because they say the person that it was named after, a Dr. Wingate, he was the fourth president at Wake Forest, apparently. And Dr. Wingate, they say, was a slave owner. And so there has been tremendous pressure This college was founded in 1896, and Dr. Wingate was heralded as, they thought, a great man. But there's now been pressure with looking back that he was a slaveholder, and they want to change the name of Wingate University. And amazingly, the university has stood up to cancel culture, which doesn't happen often. Especially, I was looking at this dude's name. Not only is he a slaveholder, but Win and Gate. Okay, for every win, there's a loss. And I find that to be horribly socialist, or capitalist, I mean. Whatever, no, for every win, there's loss. That's capitalism, right there. And so that's another reason the word win is in this guy's name. That's horribly unfair to people who are not winners as well. So that's another reason I thought they'd change the name. And then Wingate. Who has gates? Well, Jay Inslee has a big gate around his mansion. Jenny Durkin has a big gate around her mansion. You got a lot of gates, and the nation's capital has been behind a gate and a fence for some time. There's a gate around the White House. So not only was Wingate a slaveholder, but his name embodies winning, which we all hate, winning, and then gates, which are horribly oppressive. You know where else there's a gate? Down on the U.S.-Mexico border. How unfair is that? So I thought, well, maybe this guy's first name is what saved him. So I started looking up Dr. Wingate here. Dr. Washington Wingate. Washington, he was probably named after George, who was also a slaveholder. And so they're keeping the name Wingate University. I mean, we've been trying to tear down the George Washington statue at By George on the UW campus. Some people think that our state name should be changed. And Wingate got by even with the first name Washington. That is shocking to me. Maybe it was his middle name that proved to be his salvation. So I did a little Wikipedia search. The fourth president of Wake Forest College, the namesake of Wingate University, his full name is Washington. It is hard to believe. His full name is Washington Manly Wingate. Manly. Manly is his middle name. That's toxic. He embodies toxic masculinity, for crying out loud. And I, for one, will not rest until we stop looking at people as male or female. And man, there's no place for manliness in Biden's America. So anyway, I want to congratulate the trustees, though, at Wingate University, otherwise known as Washington Manly Wingate University. How they stood up to cancel culture is absolutely beyond me. All right, one other thing before I got a bunch of other stories I'll get into at the bottom of the hour here. I was listening to Aaron Granillo's newscast a couple of hours ago, and he was talking about how the city of Seattle is looking at raising parking rates again. And they especially want to do it around the Seattle Center Coliseum. That's what I call the Climate Pledge Arena. It'll always be the Coliseum to me. Until Amazon starts slipping me a few prime bucks to say their chosen name, I'll go with my chosen name. So anyway, they want to raise the parking rates around the Seattle Center Coliseum. And Cairo TV, our news partners, they were talking about why they want to raise the parking rates.
So you could end up paying up to $12 an hour just to park. And there are specific stipulations based on where you'd be parking. And one of those would be based on events. Now, according to SDOT, the goal of this substantial bump is deterrence, preventing people from driving and instead pushing them to take mass transit. Neighborhood group, the Uptown Alliance, wants special event street parking rates to be just as expensive as private lots. They're hoping that's approved by the city before the arena opens.
It's deterrence. The city of Seattle is going to raise parking rates to punish you if you take a car to the Seattle Center Coliseum. Remember the parking study? The guy came in to my studio and he showed me all the documents and all the studies, all the charts and graphs, and they tried to tell me that it would be just as quick if you park, say, five blocks from the Coliseum. And I have a little secret parking lot that I've used for years and years and years for concerts. I got to pay for it, but very few people know about it. And if I get there about 90 minutes before a concert, last time was when Springsteen was here. I think I've seen something there since Springsteen. But yeah, there's this one little parking lot. I can't share it with you. I'm sorry. But it's much cheaper than even a couple hours of street parking. But they tried to sell me on the notion that if you park six blocks away from the Seattle Center Coliseum, it would be just as quick for you to get on the monorail, ride the monorail down to Westlake Station, and then go to your car that you parked in one of the big parking garages downtown, right around Westlake there. Are you nuts? If you know, now, I don't want to give away all my secrets, but I used to cover Sonics games. And even to this day, I know how to scoot in and out of the Coliseum toot sweet. But now they want to use it as a, did they say incentive or was it a punishment? I forget.
Wait, so you could end up paying up to $12 an hour just to park. And there are specific stipulations based on where you'd be parking. And one of those would be based on events. Now, according to SDOT, the goal of this substantial bump is deterrence, preventing people from driving. And
they want to deter you. When you say the word deter often enough, deter becomes a very funny word. But they want to deter you from parking because if you have a single occupancy vehicle or you ride with a friend, then you are, of course, evil. Come on, jump on light rail. Sound Transit. It's the wave of the future. And that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Believe it or not, I still have more news that I have to get to here, including, if you missed it, the criminals that are running around on our streets right now, today, it should scare the bejeebers out of you, if you still have any bejeebers left to scare. Details coming up on the Dory Monson Show. Hey, Aaron, you know when, you know, like the state lottery, the mega millions or whatever they call it, when it gets up into the 50 million or 500 million or however big it gets range?
Yep.
You know how people in a workplace, they will each toss in $5 or $10.
Right.
And then somebody's designated to go and buy, you know, a couple hundred lotto tickets, and then you'll split it if you hit one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about doing the same thing for the vaccine lottery here. I'm gonna go get vaccinated. This is my personal commitment to all my coworkers. I'm gonna go get vaccinated at least 20 more times. When's the deadline?
Sunday.
Okay, so between now and Sunday, I'm gonna get vaccinated at least 20 more times. Okay. Are you in? The minimum is 5 vaccinations.
You're saying I have to do at least 5 vaccinations myself?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody who's in, and I assume we all have won already, but I'm trying to boost our odds here.
Yeah. I don't know what the rules are for getting like 5 to 10 vaccinations at this point.
Screw the rules.
Yeah.
I just, I want the big bucks. I want Jay Inslee to present me with that check, personally.
Right. Well, good luck if you go for it.
No. So you're not in? I just want commitment of 5 vaccinations from you. Like, I'm sure I can get some people to get 10 more.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll split the big bucks.
I'm good.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Is Nicole, is she on the line right now? Nicole.
Am I in?
Yeah. So how many more? Will you get a few more vaccinations?
See, I might get a few more J&Js. That's it. I'm not committing to the RNA.
Right.
After watching what it's done to you.
You can go Moderna, the Pfizer, the J&J. It's your choice to be part of the partnership. I just need to see the needle marks up and down your arms.
I'm going to be greedy and just hope that I win it all to myself.
Okay, here's one other thing before I let you go. And I know you desperately wish I'd done that 3 minutes ago. But every time it's hit the last 3 weeks, you've said something like, you did not win the vaccine lottery unless you are Stephen Jay of Walla Walla or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's to give anonymity to the winner.
Right.
Okay, now, if I win and I want anonymity and you go on the air and say you did not win unless you're Dory M, that doesn't give me a proper level of anonymity.
It is a fair point. There probably aren't many Dory M's in our state beyond you.
Thank goodness. All right. Well,
still going to say it if it is you.
Will you just take a look and see if I can just run needle tracks up and down my both arms, if I can boost my chances?
I'll look into it.
Okay, I appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you, sir. Okay. Jeez. Hey, I think for you listening, you're going to say that was time well spent right there. Okay, a couple of other things. There's going to be a lot of Joe Biden in the awesome audio coming up here, but Joe Biden, one that didn't quite make the cut, but we found out, and this has to do with the vaccines. This is what a professional that I am as a talk show host, because I'm able to segue from vaccination to vaccination story and go from local to national. So Joe Biden now says, if you don't get the vaccine, some federal jackbooted thugs are going to come to your house. They're going to kick down your door and they're going to inject it, but it's not going to be in your upper arm where the rest of us have got. They're going to inject it right into your jugular to make it maximum pain because you haven't complied before now.
Because here's the deal. We are continuing to wind down the mass vaccination sites that did so much in the spring to rapidly vaccinate those eager to get their first shot and their second shot, for that matter, if they needed a second. Now we need to go to community by community, neighborhood by neighborhood, and oftentimes door to door, literally knocking on doors, to get help to the remaining people protected from the virus.
If you don't want the vaccine, let's say you already have had COVID and you have all the antibodies and you don't want the vaccine, Joe Biden is going to send someone to your house to help you. Let's put that in air quotes. To help you, one person's going to hold you down. The other one's going to help you by injecting the vaccine into your arm. They're going to help you if you haven't gotten it by now. That's very generous of them. And then, he said he was going to make Beto O'Rourke his gun czar. Maybe maybe they'll send 4 people to your house. One to pin you down, one to inject you against your will, and then 2 more can rummage around to see if you have any guns.
In that case, I think there would be a visit by law enforcement to recover that firearm and to make sure that it is purchased, bought back, so that it cannot be potentially used against somebody else.
they're going to make sure that it's bought back. Well, it's not for sale. Doesn't care. I'm buying it back. But no, seriously, I don't want to sell. We're buying it back. Take your vaccine. They better put a little sleepy time in the vaccine if they're coming to take people's guns at the same time. All right. This could only happen, by the way, in Biden's America. Okay, a couple other things in case you missed it at the top of the hour or at the top of the show at noon today. These are some weird times around here. Violence going through the roof. The one that I find the scariest is on Capitol Hill, where a guy with an axe broke into a house on Capitol Hill. Did I mention he had an axe? Did I mention that he has two strike prior felonies? And if you have two strikes, you probably have about 20 prior felonies. But Henry Stelter said that the guy with the axe cracked his door in broad daylight. Talk to Cairo 7 News.
The door was cracked to let some air into the apartment, and he climbed up from the alleyway down there.
Okay, but then he saw that the guy who was climbing up had an axe ready to go. And he found the guy in his living room because their doggy saw him.
That's when I went back and grabbed my pistol. And at that point, he had seen me, and he started walking down the hallway towards me, and he had started reaching for the axe on his back.
So the guy breaks into the house, starts reaching for an axe, presumably to "Here's Johnny," this guy. And he saw a few weapons on the guy.
He was also wearing a glove that had a metal spike sticking out the front of it.
Spiked glove, an axe, and oh yeah, there was a pistol involved.
I just kept telling him he needs to get out. And he then started cursing at me. He was saying all sorts of random things that I couldn't really make out.
Think it was the homeowner who had the pistol, and he's starting to chase this guy out. But the guy who broke into his house while carrying a spiked glove and an axe, his name is Red. Everybody knows old Red. Red breaks into houses and businesses and cars all the time, and then he just goes around the revolving door of justice around here, and prosecutor says, no charges. The guy breaks into somebody's house with an axe, and the prosecutor says no charges.
Definitely very worrying that, you know, that he could just show up right now. You know, he showed up in broad daylight last time. Who knows what could happen now?
And Gary Horker at Cairo 7 News explains why the home break-in spiked glove axe-wielding burglar just got right out of jail without even being held.
Cairo 7 News obtained Stanley Red's mental competency evaluation, and it appears to be the reason he was set free without charges. State doctors apparently concluded Red was incompetent to even understand why he was arrested, saying he has symptoms of psychosis, including rambling speech, thought disorganization, and delusions. The evaluation goes on to say Red's charge was not a serious offense, according to state law, and the city attorney says he had no choice but to drop the case. Uh-huh. Now the victims in this case are wondering about their own well-being and of Red's.
Oh, I misread this whole thing. So they let him go because he's crazy. That's it. So that's why you put the guy with the axe back out on the streets. He's crazy. Hey, Jay Inslee, we got a place called Western State Hospital. I know that you let it fall into greater disrepair than any mental hospital in the United States of America. Maybe fire Western State back up and put the guys with the axe breaking into homes in there until they're competent to stand trial? I know. That's the little utopian world I live in. Okay, in just a moment, we'll count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio coming up next. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. Very solid. Solid today. Hey, tomorrow, the superintendent of public instruction in Washington State, Chris Rakedahl, is going to come on with me. I heard him a couple weeks ago on Cairo say there is no critical race theory in our state. I will respectfully disagree with him on that. I'm tipping my hand on what I'm going to talk to him about. But Chris Rakedahl will join me tomorrow on The Big Show. All right, with that as mere prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Doreen Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
The reason the gun grabbers like Beto O'Rourke, the reason why they're all in a fantasy land is because, whether you like it or not, there are 300 million guns at least in America. And if you make people turn in guns, only the law-abiding will, and only the criminals will have guns. So is there a better solution? Well, there is. Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, he has figured out a way to deal logically with the gun problem in America.
We wasted so much time and money in this nation fighting illegal immigration. Illegal immigration is not killing Americans. Illegal guns are killing Americans.
Oh. What do you mean illegal immigrants? I'll give you a list of hundreds, Mr. Governor.
So here's my vision. It just came to me. Picture the border. We build a wall. We build a tall, big, a beautiful wall. And we have the wall goes for miles. And we have a little gold leaf up at the top of the wall. Little gold, shiny leaf. And then we put a big name across the wall.
Please get to the point.
And the name is five letters. You know the name? I can see it. Can you see it? C-U-O-M-O. And it's a magic wall. People can pass, but illegal guns cannot pass. It's a magic wall. That's
people are applauding
what we need here in New York, and that's what we have needed.
The way to get applause for somebody like him is to get an audience full of idiot perspectives. See, I didn't call them idiots. Called their perspectives idiotic. I'm so good. Joe Biden asked about the ransomware attack on America. Another one has been launched. And this is really something to listen to if you have a chance to watch it, if you haven't already. He starts to talk. He says he's been briefed on it. He starts to fumble because one of his handlers wrote down some notes. He gets completely lost. And this is your president of the United States talking about Russian terrorists and their ransomware attacks on our oil pipelines, then on our food distribution system. Now many more companies have been hit, and here's your president.
Yeah. With the most recent hack by the Russians, would you say that this means
we're not
that...
sure it's the Russians.
Okay.
With I spot gun in it. I got a brief... as I was on the plane. That's why I was late getting off the plane.
Okay, no, pay attention to that. He was late getting off the plane because he just got briefed on this. And so he's in an ice cream shop, and he's fumbling for some notes.
I got a brief, and...
All right.
Come on, Joe. You just got briefed.
Did you like your receipt?
Can you help me with
my
thing, sir?
I'll be in better shape to talk to you about it.
You just got briefed. You were late because you just got briefed on. You can't find his notes.
I'll tell you what they sent me.
Okay? What they send you?
The idea, first of all, we're not sure who it is for certain.
Just got briefed.
Number one. And what I did, I directed the full resources of the government to assist in a response if we determine. What else you need?
Oh, nothing. You're all set.
Okay. And the fact is that I directed the intelligence community to give me a deep dive on what's happened, and I'll know better tomorrow. And if it is either with the knowledge of and
just
or a consequence of Russia, then that told Putin we will respond. And
you didn't tell him already, sir?
No, no, I haven't called because we're not certain.
Oh my gosh. There's nobody home at the top right now in the United States of America. All right, I got to get out of here. The Tom and Curly Show's coming up next, and I will see you back here tomorrow. High noon. Hello.
Life is a breeze. Of course, some breezes, as you know, are 110 miles an hour and get promoted up to hurricanes. I just thought I'd pass that along.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.